Trigger Fiends. This is the Friggin' Beans, podcasting from Cod Bay, UJ, a mall above She-Devil Intergalactic Perry Studios, where we halter your focus, Cornelius, by warming your synopsis with originative rodeo caves. This forms you brawn to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a thin shrub of sadism out of your bed. Can you heal it? Can you feel it? Steve Miller.
Yes, I can heal it.
And the Friggin' Fiends is brought to you by BIPCOT, no government license. It allows reuse by anyone except governments. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org. So how have you been?
Oh, pretty good. I guess we're out of the thing where we're speaking English like it's our fourth language.
Yeah, okay.
So okay, that's fine.
Okay. So yeah, a lot of interesting things have been going on. I got doxxed. Quote unquote doxxed.
Not the first time.
This is not the first time. I've been doxxed by Scientology. I've been doxxed by a Stefan Molyneux fan and a social justice warrior. So good company.
That's a holy trinity right there.
Yeah. So Scientology had actually gotten my name, my address, my parents' names, and all that stuff. Good stuff. The Molyneux, not so good. Oh, they only came up with some pictures of my family, and they only got one of my sisters. And the social justice warriors only could figure out the town that I lived next to, thinking that that's where the town where I lived in.
Typical.
Yeah. And
collectivist logic. And that the next town encompasses you as well, because we're all connected.
And because that a Marine wanted to punch me, because I had I rebutted one claim in an entire video that he made, and he wanted to punch me about it, was proof that I'm harassing the Zeitgeist movement.
It's almost as if the Marine Corps does not prepare you for productive conflict resolution in life.
You'd think, but yeah, so.
You know what, Jim Jesus? We need to, before we get into all this, we need to remind everyone that Barack Obama is in fact a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink, and that Hillary Clinton is a liar, a socialist, and her pantsuit stinks.
Yeah, and I think he actually lives in Arlington, Virginia. Oh no, it's a town next to that.
The Marine or Obama?
Obama.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, he lives at yeah. I see what you did there. It took me a second.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Have you ever been doxxed before? This is like, I'm an old hand at this now.
Yeah. See, here's the advantage of living your life as Steve Miller, is there's no dark secret in my past that I won't freely speak about on stage. So, there's not much. And I'll freely give away my address, too. Very well, because if you intend violence, like, you're gonna quit as soon as you get like within seven blocks of my house, because you're gonna see these. You're gonna see that you're outmatched, like, no matter where you go, by my neighbors. You know, you're not gonna make it like to my house. Like, what are you gonna do? You're gonna pack two guns? Like, there's a dude on the corner with 60. For those of you who don't know, I live in Mogadishu, Somalia. I got mad that there was no state. That there was too much state in Philadelphia, so I moved to Mogadishu. And now if you want to add me on Snapchat, my Snapchat handle is imogadishu. That's imogadishyou. To tell the world, you know, it's not just imogadish me, imogadishu as well. And so, you're in the state from within.
Okay, so is there anyone like in for, like, if I go on the path to adding you on Instagram, am I also going to be in fear of running
into
Instagram, some of your
neighbors? That's Snapchat.
With Snapchat, same thing, right? No,
Remillered on Instagram. That's me singing Luke Bryan videos. Yeah,
I'm confused. Instagram, Snapchat. I'm not that old yet, but you whippersnappers with your hula hoops and your barbecue and your BLTs and your Nintendo games, I don't understand any of this stuff.
I have to rely on neighborhood children to tell me what the big apps are, and yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't understand the whole point of like doxing me, because it's like I stated publicly that I don't care. It's already happened to me. I don't care, and people still try to do it to me, and I'm like, did you guys get the memo when I said I didn't care?
but people still insist on it. And they're progressively getting worse. I mean, at least Scientology has to hire, like, PIs in order to follow me around and get my stuff. And then they go, okay, that's the real address. That's where he really lives. That's who his family is. Okay, so now we know all this information about it. Now we're going to release it. Whereas, you know, social justice warriors read a YouTube comment that I made, like, 3 years ago and figure out, right. Oh, he lives in a town near Summerlin. That's the same thing, right? No. But okay, whatever.
It's Nevada. I mean, it's just desert, and then you'll see him. So,
yeah, and Summerlin and Vegas is kind of like an oasis, and then everything out there, it's the wasteland. It's not a Fallout reference, I swear.
Okay, but why is that not being a Fallout reference?
Yeah, but. The people who are doing this, I'm going to say their names. It's Jenny McDermott and Bewildered
Ape. You're counter-doxing. Yeah,
I'm counter-doxing. I don't know where they... Actually, I do know where they live. I'm not going to say that on the radio. That's just a little too much.
Because you're a person with class as opposed to like your standard-issue doxer.
I'm a doxer with class, indeed. But apparently, their whole thing is that they're mad that they were doxed. And doxing is never okay because people could die from doxing. And yet, here they are doxing.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And it's not. I didn't dox any of these people. I had nothing to do with any of that stuff. I was like, okay.
Wait, they're mad at you for this Marine incident? Is that what's happening?
No, that's just another. That's a whole other thing. I should talk about that because that's a fun story. It's a whole other
story. You're like me. You have like six groups of people mad at you at any given time. They should stop calling this Freedom Fiends and start calling it Treasure Trolls or whatever.
Let's see. We have the Molinuvians who don't like me. I have the Zeitgeisters who don't like me. The Social Justice Warriors who don't like me. And now the Alternative Right doesn't like me.
Yeah.
The Trump supporters now are starting to hate me as well, but alt-right, that's kind of a mishmash between the two. This is a Venn diagram of those people. Who else?
It's like having your tarot cards read. Like, you just flip over these groups and be like, oh, it looks like you flipped the... it looks like you flipped the Molly fans card in the House of Chemtrails. It's not a good sign.
Yeah, but if I can get hate back in one day from the alternative right and the social justice warrior, I think I'm doing something right here. Like, how dare you make fun of Trump? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're a cuck. Yeah, that's the response to everything. Is like, let's just call someone a cuck, and that's that. I showed the rightstuff.biz, which is the flagship website of the alt-right, for those of you who don't visit it. Don't reward them with clicks. But yeah, in fact, I wish I should have just referred to it peripherally, but whatever. I showed it to some people that I know, and they said, okay, like, this is like Stormfront without the excitement. This is like Stormfront for people that were raised on a diet of NPR, and they like don't want to be called racist. They need to be called race realist, because like, actually, I'm not a racist. I identify primarily as a race realist. You have to honor my identity. And it's like, yo, I thought you were supposed to be the ones that like don't care and will like march in and burn a cross and whatever. And here you are, and you're literally triggered over someone's word choice. Like, I can't even begin to express the beauty of that.
Yeah, that website was so weird. They had a rebuking of anarcho-capitalism, and it really didn't kind of like make any arguments against anarcho-capitalism. It just kind of supposed that the reader was already against anarcho-capitalism, and then just kind of was like, oh, let's just make fun of people who subscribe to it. And it's
like, the entire article was two words long. It just said yak farmers.
Yeah, and it was so bad they ended up having to take it down. They had to take it down. So
that was a small victory for yak kind.
Yeah.
With that, we want to reiterate that one of our squad goals here on Freedom Fiends is to insert the term yak farmer into the general freedom community lexicon, as anybody who is pro-capitalism or anything like that but means no harm. You know, you could call yourself an anarcho-yakitalist. People would know, oh, the most harmful thing this person's going to do is harm yaks. People use it as a derisive term. We can call each other yak pharma, like, hey, my yak pharma, my yakka. What have you. But other people cannot just call us that derisively.
Oh, that will not be tolerated. And Lalbert, too.
Lalbert's is our term as well.
That's our word.
That, I feel, has already been reclaimed, though. I feel that's kind of an accomplished squat goal.
Yeah, that was on me. I fought hard for that one.
No, you single-handedly saved that word.
You reclaimed it. That word. Well, two or three other people.
It was dangling in the volcano of hatred, and you reached down, like in the Tom Hanks movie, Joe versus the Volcano. And
I hate Tom Hanks.
I can't stand Tom Hanks. I'll be open about that. I know I'm on the radio and everything, but can't stand Tom Hanks. I understand that, and I've been told that I'm wrong and that I'm a bad person, but it took me years to be okay with being open about my Hanksual orientation, and now I finally am.
But see, I think we can find some common ground, though, because
A League of Their Own? Come on.
I realize something. It's not about Tom Hanks, but it's somewhat similar about everyone's love for a particular person. But I don't think I have ever seen a movie that I liked that had Hugo Weaving in it.
Who is that?
He is the guy who played V for Vendetta, the Matrix. He was Agent Smith. He was in the Lord of the Rings. I can't stand any of those movies. I used to like V for Vendetta. I used to really like it.
Yeah.
And then I read the comic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The comic kills it. Because the comic is so great, and then you realize that they just murdered that whole story to make a point against Bush. And it's like, ugh. Like, and I don't like Bush either, but you ruined a great story in order to make a point against Bush, and that's a whole other story. But I can't find a movie that I like that Hugo Weaving's in. But it's weird because I know he's a good actor. I know he has a talent, but there's nothing that he's done that I've ever liked. Well, except for V for Vendetta, but I don't like it now.
There you go. Keep it real. You're open about your feelings about Hugo Weaving, and I don't like Tom Hanks. I think he plays the same character in every single movie, and I don't particularly like the character. It's the kind of character.
Forrest Gump?
Forrest Gump is that character minus like 10, 15 IQ points, and plus a lot of nostalgia for baby boomers. We will be back with more Freedom Fiends.
But he mentioned Dr. Pepper. Hatred. He mentioned Dr. Pepper. Does that mean anything?
I question where Dr. Pepper got his doctorate, I'm saying.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Too busy talking to New Talk Radio.
Too busy talking to New Talk Radio. We're a teaching hospital.
I'm going to one up my doctorate. I'm going to get out my phone.
Go ahead.
I don't know. I have these dates.
555.
Yeah. No, it's 424-666-1909. 424-666-1909. And that really is my number. And if you call it, you may hear my phone ring in the background. So, yeah, I don't care. I don't really care about doxers, and no one's going to call. Last time we were giving out my phone number live on the air, no one called it. I think we had like one person from South Dakota call, and that was it. I don't care. Doxers can shut up.
Yeah, shut up, doxers. Crazy doxers. But so I was not doxed, but I was given a letter that banned me from Fort Wayne, Indiana Gay Pride. Because I told a joke on stage at Fort Wayne, Indiana Gay Pride, I would estimate the crowd to be about 100 people total for Fort Wayne Gay Pride, and not a one of them under the age of 40. There was a very heavy lesbian trucker vibe at Fort Wayne Gay Pride. Let's just say that. It's a city of all churches and banks.
Are you talking about heavy in the terms of the amount of people or the amount of the person?
I mean both. Yes, okay. Correct. I mean that in both senses of the word heavy. Okay. Yeah. And I also mean that in terms of the gravity of the mood that my comedy set in with these people, because I am very greatly offended. Apparently, this one lesbian trucker who was in on the board of Fort Wayne Gay Pride, and she asked that I never be allowed back and that I be sent a letter for telling the following joke. This is the joke I told on stage when I was opening for, say it with me, a reality TV star, because remember, it's Gay Pride.
Go on.
I told this joke. So a guy walked up to me. He says, "Hey, Steve Miller, you'll appreciate this. I'm going to start losing weight, and I'm going to start losing weight the old-fashioned gay way." And I said, "What? You're getting HIV?" And he said, "No." And he said, "No, I'm not getting HIV. I'm going to start doing crystal meth." And I said, "Okay, what you basically just told me is that you're getting HIV, but you're going to take the scenic route." And that joke is the reason I'm not allowed back to Fort Wayne Gay Pride. Womp womp. The things you do. Sometimes you get doxxed. Sometimes you get banned from Fort Wayne, Indiana Gay Pride. You take it on the chin and you move on. You're a gamer, and I appreciate that.
I'm not a gamer.
No, I don't mean that gaming term. I mean that in the you got moxie.
Okay, I got Moxie. I actually like Moxie. Was that someone?
Oh, is that someone calling? That's funny. Yeah. That's funny.
No, I think that was actually Periscope. It's probably RJ.
oh, that did sound like the Periscope app. Yeah.
Yeah.
I use that I use that just for sports gambling, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, maybe you should have me go down to the casino and make some bets, like actual bets for you, not with the mob. You
know, If I join the super contest next year, you have to submit your picks in person or have a proxy do it. And yeah, I might take you up on that if I join the super contest.
Okay.
Which, for those of you who don't know, is a contest where you get five picks every week. You pick five games in the NFL, and you have to submit them on Thursday. And then whoever wins at the end of the season gets, I think it's one, it had traditionally been $1 million, and I think it's up to like two or four. But it's I think, $800 to $1,000 to get an entry into the Super Contest, and there's 5,000 people that do it. And it's usually syndicates of people that bet, so people that research these things all the live long day. And, yeah. And if for those of you who are part of that new libertarian growth market of sports gamblers that I recently discussed, might be worth noting that it's good to bet against what people are doing in the super contest. In any market, it's a good idea to, if you see everyone doing one thing, maybe take a look at the contrary position and look at the value present in that. So you've got everybody going in tonight. It was on the Houston Rockets on the road against Denver, and 80% of the money was on them, and that's good for the casinos. And you don't necessarily want to be, you know, betting against the casinos. So always find value in a contrary position. Well, usually, sometimes, you know, you don't want to be buying Enron stock, but yeah.
But yeah, so if you let's say that you make a lot of money from the house in Vegas, they basically pay you. If you make a lot of money from the house in, say, New Jersey, they'll break your legs, right? Yep. So
I love Atlantic City, though. It's so trashy. It is so, so trashy. You go down there and you look up at the street names and you're like, oh, wait, you know, this is New York Avenue. Who would pay $240 for this if they landed on it?
Yeah. You know, by the way, if you're ever in Atlantic City, there's a wonderful casino there. I used to own it. It's not. I have stakes in it. I think not Trump stakes. That's foreclosed. But you should definitely check out the Taj Mahal. It's a wonderful. Is that still there? I don't even know.
The Taj, yeah, the Taj is definitely still there. It's the cool thing about Atlantic City is not a single thing in any casino has been updated since the late 70s. It is a casino that looks like your grandmother wrapped it in plastic and took off the plastic sheeting only to smoke to imbue everything with the smell of New Jersey cigarettes from 10,000 diner waitresses.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Yeah,
For me, I'm a much more of a ramen person over pho. But has nothing to do with the accent. Yeah, but I'm too busy talking to talk radio. Go away, audience. We're talking.
Yeah, we're having a conversation about my barber. But anyway, thrilling for the folks at home. We are live on the Freedom Fiends. This is Steve Miller here with Jim Jesus, the fully doxed Jim Jesus.
Fully doxed.
Holding nothing back. You want to know something about Jim Jesus? By golly, people from the left are willing to look at old YouTube comments and put it out there for this is a public service as I see it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just waiting for them to find like comments that I made back in like 2008 when I was living in Kansas for a little while. Or no, I was in California. I think it was 2008. I was back in Kansas. That's right. So they're gonna be like, "Oh, he lied. He's in Wichita." Yeah, for like 2 years, and then I moved.
Maybe it'll be like a Lyndon. You ever deal with Lyndon LaRouche people? Have you ever talked to them?
Yes. I love LaRouche bags. I love LaRouche bags. Yeah. They're the best. But
yeah, so funny. But I feel like when you say he's not in he's not in Nevada. He's in Wichita or whatever. I feel like if you give the LaRouche people things, they would argue that you're always in one certain space. I feel that the argument would start out, well, he lied because he said this and this, and therefore the shortest distance between two spaces is not a straight line, and also everything is happening all at once, and also Dick Cheney is a child of Satan. I'm Lyndon LaRouche. Thank you. Yeah. Tip your waitresses. I'll be here all weekend.
Obama is literally Hitler. Literally. Literally Hitler.
He is Adolf Hitler.
I partake in a I don't know if I could say the last word of this, but I partake in a community on YouTube where they make YouTube excrement, I think is probably the radio friendly term. I don't know if the P word is proper, but what we do is take
poop.
Yes. Right. So we can take we can take videos and then we mash them up and distort them and just make them just so weird that you're just like, what the heck did I just watch? And one of the ones that I did was about Lyndon LaRouche, and going through and trying to make sentence splicing, which is where you take words that he said and rearrange them so he's saying things that you would never expect him to say, like he likes the British monarchy. and having to go through this, there are multiple videos of him talking, really kind of gave me an insight about Lyndon LaRouche that
I've never seen a lot of people talk.
Yeah, he has a channel on YouTube and he talks all the time on the thing, and he's insane.
I had a friend in high school who literally cut school to go see Lyndon LaRouche because LaRouche was like 83 years old and traveling around, and he was speaking at like a rival high school across town. And yeah, he definitely cut school to go watch LaRouche. He's like, you have no idea how crazy this guy is. He's like, look, I'm going to show you this thing when we get back to my house. He's like, you know, this guy doesn't believe in gravity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. and that's what kind of piqued my interest. I'm like, okay, like this is someone that doesn't believe in gravity. Like I've got a future as a comedian who opens for time travelers. You know, this could maybe like fit into my general schema, but alas, I was a square kid and I stayed in school because I was coerced to by, you know, that's another thing I could blame the government for, is not being able to let me see our boy Lyndon LaRouche.
Yeah. Well, you know, the British monarchy are like, okay, so like everybody has like this conspiracy theory about who's really running the world, right? You have, you know, the alien lizard Jewish people.
Lizards, yeah.
You have the Zionist Jews, or you have the Illuminati and the NWO, and or the light ones and the dark ones if you're in the Nisara thing. Yeah, the LaRouche people just have the British monarchy, and they're basically behind everything that ever happens. 9/11, that was British monarchy. Name something the British monarchy had some hand in it. The Paris attacks, I guarantee, if I look up the Paris attacks, his comments on the Paris attack, he's going to link it somehow to the British monarchy. He's going to blame them for it, because everything's the British monarchy. And then if it's the Saudi Arabia, he'll be like, well, yeah, it's the Saudi family, but the Saudi family is the British monarchy. It's the same institution. It's like, you can't You can't lose. And I love it because that's his blame all for everything.
What I love is when people tell me that the number of letters in something is significant. They're like, yeah.
Look. Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
Oh, checking in. We got Michael W. Dean.
Yeah.
How you doing, sir?
We got furries. We got furries in the house? I guess not.
Yeah. This is Fiend Phone Unnecessary Random Reeducation Interruption Exigency Service. Ugh. Used to be system, but now it's a service. Or furries.
Yeah, there we go.
You guys are having too much fun. I'm waking up from my... not that I want to make you have less fun. I just want to join it. But I'm, you know, I'm waking up. I'm listening to... Here, there's an echo. This is a 30-second echo of us. Check it out.
Michael W. Dean.
Yeah.
How you doing, sir?
We got furries. We got furries in there.
I'm listening to us. That's us on LRN.
I'm feeling really feeling really sentimental about what happened 30 seconds ago.
Yeah.
I'm nostalgic.
You should be.
I'm going to turn on some vaporwave.
I'm listening to Flipper, man. You guys like Flipper? Flipper rocks.
Flipper's awesome.
We were talking about Flipper before the show.
Yeah.
Apparently David Yao from Scratch Acid and Jesus Lizard is listening to him now. I remember the drummer in Bomb made that guy cry back in 1987. Bomb opened for, wasn't it Jesus Lizard? Yeah, the Jesus Lizard at a Unitarian church in Champlain, Illinois. You know, I got this letter today from somebody who was talking about this horrible place that they used to play. He used to go see shows called the Village Gardens, maybe, in New Jersey. I don't know. And he said that, like, you know, Trent Reznor talks about how his sound man got mugged during a gig there. I mean, it was, like, that rough of a place. I never played it. The only place we ever played in New Jersey was this, like, hole in the wall in the basement of something in New Brunswick. And I remember we played there once and had a pretty good time. You know, it was a packed show. I mean, it was, like... You know, how many people does it take to pack your living room? It was like that packed, that size. And then the next year, in like 88, we were supposed to play again, and we drove by. We were shooting, the drummer and I were shooting dope. That was when, we played at CBGB's the day before, and he'd thrown up during a song drumming without skipping a beat on stage at CBGB's from dope. That is punk rock. But the next day, we were still shooting China White. And you can't get it in California. It's really good, man. I mean, it's like, you know, Panic in Needle Park, Panic in Hancock Park, if you want to, like, say Marc Maron good. But, so we drove by the place, and there were, you know, like during sound check time, and there were no cars there. So we're like, well, there probably won't be anybody there when we play. Let's go back to New York and shoot dope. So we went to a payphone. There weren't cell phones there. We went to a payphone and called them and said, like, you know, somebody's
Grandpa,
in the hospital.
What's a payphone?
It's this, like, booth where superheroes used to change into their tights on the street that also had a phone before you had a phone in your pocket and before you could film the cops because you had a camera in your pocket. So this... am I supposed to be telling war stories here? Well, you guys called me. What do you want? I'm fresh off of too much oxygen, brothers.
Yeah, he's been CPAP. He's been hitting that CPAP all hard.
I told you to stop going to CPAP. It's a terrible place, right?
All of my posts about CPAP, I'm waiting for, like, my local sheriff to be, like, Googling, like, what drug is CPAP slang for? What's this guy talking about?
He's strung out on CPAP.
Yeah.
All he does is string words together. Shouts to comedian Michael Brooks, who's listening to the show, a fellow CPAP. New CPAP user. I think you and he had sleep apnea, were diagnosed with sleep apnea, and went on CPAP like around the same time. He's this enormous black man. Yeah.
Okay. A week ago. Well, I'm an expert now, apparently, and I'm on a crusade that everyone probably needs to be on it. That's how I am with things.
Nice.
Not I.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got off my ventilator unit thing, finally. I have ditched my hookah. I'm done with it. Yeah. I actually threw it in the trash. I was like, I'm done. This is too expensive, and it's becoming more of a habit than anything else. And since I've done it, like, my lungs have been clearing out all this nasty stuff that it's been saving. It's just, that's why I'm kind of like, bleh, right now. It's not because I'm sick. My body's just purging.
A hookah is, you know, probably 1,500-year-old technology, but it's an update on, like, you know, a tobacco pipe, which is like, okay, like, tobacco pipes are the Judaism of tobacco consumption. And, like, you know, I don't know if cigarettes would be the Christianity, and then, like, you know, time-wise line, a hookah would be the Islam. Mm-hmm. Would it be? Cigarettes haven't been around that long. Cigarettes are much later, but yeah, cigarettes. I know that hookahs are largely enjoyed by bearded men in the Middle East. There's a Turkish bar near my house in L.A. where on Sunset, the crappy
part of
Sunset.
Those trick exploding cigarettes are Scientology.
I would, oh, yes, I like it. I'd always ride my bike by and see, like, on warm summer nights, I'd see, like, these old Turkish men sitting around smoking a hookah out on the sidewalk bar there. They kind of look like old Jewish men, but they looked older somehow, the old Turkish men. Smoking the hookah is what made them look old, is what I'm trying to say here. I'm congratulating you, young man.
Yeah. I mean, I might visit a hookah bar. If I have a friend that comes over and wants
bar.
To, it wants to go to a hooker bar.
I've never paid for it, never will.
How do you tell the difference if you're in Boston?
Yeah, but I'm just not gonna have it in my house anymore. I'm done. It's just getting too expensive.
Biscuits and gravy.
Biscuits and mustard.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. French fried potatoes.
Okay, I've seen a meme of Cantwell with that, but is that supposed to be the Sling Blade guy Larry the Cable Guy?
It's insinuating that Cantwell is
mentally deficient.
Yeah. I'll say retarded on the radio. Yeah. I get, you know, notes from corporate once in a while telling me I got to shut up, but I haven't ever used that one, I don't think.
Memo to the artist for Bernie Page administrators running, listening to the show to check up on Steve Miller. I didn't just say retarded. I didn't offend anybody's privilege. Yeah. I didn't microaggress anybody. Please put my name on the artist for Bernie Page.
I didn't.
Hashtag squat goals.
No, the homo didn't say it.
Are you PC, bro?
The old cripple said it.
Yeah. And he's allowed. He is from a dispossessed class.
Yeah, I'm differently abled. I'm physically my technically, if you want to use the term retarded for meaning, you know, reduced capacity, my lungs are really retarded. I can measure that and prove it, man.
Yeah.
So Nima Vedati wants to do a live. Okay, we got to go, but we have to do this once a show. We used to just have to say that Barack Obama's a liar, socialist, and feet stink, but now we have to say something that we should say in an email, but on broadcast radio and have everyone else listen. Nima Vedati wants to do a live show, and the night he can do it is the night you want to do your Christmas episode. So since you don't have anybody booked yet, let's just book that, and then he could be all the parts. He could play the baby Jesus. He could play Mary. Do you have a script for it yet, or how are you doing this? How are you casting this?
So it's a lot of song parodies, and then there's a Freedom Fiends-themed Night Before Christmas poem.
Okay. Does that mean that the guests have to sit there during all the music, or are they part of it?
We could sing along like a merry chorus.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
That's true, dudes. Doxing everyone. Dox yourself. Too busy doing talk radio. Jesus doxed for your sins. Yeah, I tweeted today. I was listening to last night's show, and I tweeted today. My Twitter feed has become really interesting. It's nothing to do with, like, what I eat, where I go, anything like that. It's my internal dialogue, and it's I guess there's Twitters that are like that, but most of them are parody accounts. Mine isn't. It's Michael Dean and what he's Googling. It's not a Michael Dean Googling parody account. But I was listening to the show from last night, and I blew one of the segments and talked into the break, and then went mid sentence when it got cut off. You know, it's like, oh man, and I tweeted something like, going into the break on live radio once per hour is edgy and trippy. More than twice per hour is amateur, which is not a joke. It's just kind of how I feel about it. I think you can do it once per show and get away with it. The whole crew, the whole squawk squad can do it once per show. And it sounds kind of like 70s freeform psychedelic radio, or what I picture will be in Lib Pair, which will be me and Ian Freeman in a treehouse cussing and interviewing his dog. That's what radio is going to sound like after the government's gone. All right.
Yeah, and then the dog's going to tell you to kill, And then
I kill. Well, you know, I do have a 44 special Bulldog revolver. You get that reference?
No,
I'm out.
No.
I'm out obscuring you. That's the weapon of choice that who killed because his dog told him to? Son of Sam?
Son of Sam.
Yeah, that's what he was shooting people with was a... No, I actually don't have that. You know what I do have is a Charter Arms 5-shot 38 revolver. You know that that's famous. That's what John Lennon was killed with. But that's not why I have it. I just happen to have that. It's a light, nice little gun.
Somebody tried to sell me a really cheap gun on the street here in North Philly the other day.
And I said, did they shoot you with it?
And I said, is it registered? They said it's got a BIPCOT no-gov license. I said, I'll give you $20.
Nice. The BIPCOT no-gov Saturday night special license. Did you know that the phrase Saturday night special is...
The government can't reuse it at your trial as evidence that it's
there
covered.
You go. There you go. Did you know that that phrase is racist? A lot of people say Saturday night special is racist.
Oh, really?
It kind of is. And this is like, this is not new speak, microaggression speak. It's actually the phrase was coined by some anti-gun congressman or senator, like basically saying like, all those Negroes, you want to go out and shoot people on the weekends. And they use these cheap Saturday night specials to do it. That's incredibly racist, and it's also implying that if you can't afford a good gun and you can carry only the gun you can afford, you're a ghetto dweller, and you know, like basically, there were laws to try to outlaw Saturday night specials, not on a product safety level, which definitely some of them had product safety issues, like they'd blow up in your hand, but somebody tried to. People have tried to outlaw guns that are too cheap. Like, basically, that is racist, because that's basically, like, only people with lots of money should be able to protect themselves, is what's that saying, you know?
So, my neighbor across the street, good friend of mine, this kid named Dell, he got arrested on gun charges a year ago, and I went to his trial, and at his trial, the prosecutor said, well, he had this huge AR-15. This is the kind of gun they use in Iraq. I'm like, who is this they? Who is going to Iraq? You represent the government. Dell lives across the street and eats Cheetos all day.
Yeah.
They go to Iraq with this. They.
Well, interestingly... They. You know, if I were your friend's attorney, I would have said, yeah, actually, the U.S. Armed Forces go to Iraq with that gun. Every soldier that's deployed to the Middle East from America, you know, they're bringing the what I call the government gun, which I don't like, is the AR-15 platform. I think it's a statist gun. But, you know, any gun can be repurposed. I have a rifle that was, you know, a commie gun used in World War II to shoot Nazis, and I love it. Not that you shouldn't shoot Nazis. Back in World War II, let's put an asterisk there.
I did not see that coming.
but they train you. Basically, you know, most modern armies train their soldiers going somewhere else to use the other guy's gun, because there may come a point where your gun is jammed, you just shot a guy or beat him to death with your gun, and the only gun you can use is his gun. So they, the U.S. Army, is using AR-15s in Iraq.
Worms.
Racist
worms.
Racist worms.
The government.
And when we come back, we'll talk about...
You know what's racist?
We'll talk about Steve's Calcio Chestis sweater.
Yeah, we will. Gun laws are racist. Marriage laws are racist. And drug laws are racist. They were all coined to go after black people. It's true, people. Look it up. I have the documents. Colloidal uranium body armor. Yeah.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
11. I'm the Freedom Fiends.
Meow. See? Who's doing the intro? We should have done
you.
Some break.
You.
Me? Look,
Freedom Fiends. It's a fabulous show. You should really listen to it. It's on right. In fact, it's on right now. If you're listening to it, you're actually listening to the Freedom Fiends. They're broadcasting from some satellite. I don't know. I don't have the information here in front of me, but I know it's from something, and it has to do with my Trump Tower, which is a fantastic building. In fact, we're opening. We have lots of rentals. You can get some, and they're actually covered by, like the show is. It's covered by a BIPCOT big government license. You can learn more at bipcot.gov. It's a fantastic program.
Cockbit is your license.
Cockbit.
That's the reverse of the BIPCOT, is the cop bit license. So speaking of bits, I have a contest. Most radio contests are really lame, but whoever, this one, like the prize is like $250 for like 10 seconds of work or like 30 seconds of work. The antiwar.com is having a haiku contest. And the top three entries will receive Bitcoin courtesy of Roberts and Roberts Brokerage, Friends of the Fiends. And it's
FOF.
First place is 0.5 Bitcoin. That's like $210 right now. This is no laughing, nothing to sneeze at. Second place is 0.7 Bitcoin. Bitcoin. I don't know why second place is more than first place, but it seems very zen, and this is a, you know, haiku. Maybe it's an anti-competition thing for capitalists. I don't know. So third place is, again, 0.5 Bitcoin. So this is pretty cool. Tim has put up, like, 2.2 Bitcoin, which is, I don't know, doing the math in my head right now, like, you know, $500-$600 or something for this contest.
I'm going to get out there and write the second best haiku so I can get the most money.
I know. I think that should be in the haiku, that it is the second, that, you know, it's not. Okay, I'm going to write a haiku. I probably can't enter this because I've done work for them. But so you can email them to antiwarhaiku@antiwar.com. And you should also tweet them with the hashtag antiwarhaiku. It's hashtag antiwarhaiku. And I thought they should be about, I'm guessing they should be anti-war in content, but it doesn't say they have to be. So, the deadline is 2 days from now. It's the 16th.
I really need to get in on this because I have no Bitcoin right now, and I'm going to lose the Deadpool for this year to someone.
Really?
And yeah.
Did you vote for me? Right? You voted for me, and I'm recovering.
No, you were actually healthy when I did this. You are going to be in my Deadpool picks for that. Actually, since you don't have a wiki page. I can't.
I had one for 5 years, and it was deleted, and it's on Wikipedia under deleted pages, and it's actually still up on a lot of those. You know, there's sites that like just mirror all of Wikipedia, but they never update it. Yeah, I'm on all those. So I'm still on the Italian Wikipedia. They did not delete me. So yeah, I guess there's like fans of my work in Italy.
Question about the contest. So I'm the reigning champion of the ProWar.com Limerick contest. Am I allowed to enter?
I don't know, man. Your character into account. Go ahead.
There once was a man from Iraq who invaded without aid of Chirac.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to help you.
I can't do limericks on the fly. Yeah, see, I'm not a favorite
like haiku, and it's kind of a really pop culture. Oh, a Deadpool, by the way, is when you bet when celebrities are going to die, and whoever comes the closest to it wins. And there's actually a sinister component of it, because even way before Bitcoin existed, there were like anarchists / libertarians who, you know, either didn't believe in the non-aggression principle or believe that, you know, assassinating people was self-defense, in advance, who were theorizing an anonymous digital currency to pay off an assassination Deadpool. And the guy who came up with this idea, I can't remember his name, but he ended up in prison. They went after him hard for tax evasion. But and I think, do you know who I'm talking about? Do you know his name?
No. My Deadpool was about.
Google assassination politics. I don't even Google stuff like that. They'll kick in my door. But
there'd
be this assassination pool where, like, you know, everybody would put in some of this unnamed digital currency in the 70s or 80s. And and you know they'd all bet like such and so, you know, Trump is going to die on this date, and the only person who probably would get it right is the person that actually kills him, because he'd know ahead of time when it's going to be, and that's how the Deadpool assassination politics was going to pay out. And there's some people that say that like, this is what drove the creation of Bitcoin. I don't think Satoshi was into this idea, but some of the ideas he incorporated into Bitcoin, like, included ideas of people who were into that back in the day.
Yeah. And I, by the way, like, just for the record, my Deadpool rules have a rule that it says if you assassinate any of those people, you're automatically eliminated from the Deadpool. That's like the rule. Like, besides, if you're going to go through the effort of killing one person for $10 worth of Bitcoin, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
But you know, the idea here was like,
what celebrities you got?
Oh, I have to dig up my list. I can pull it up. It's going to take.
So the coolest haiku ever, I think, is the one in Fight Club. Like, before the guy finally, like, loses his job, like, he's going in, but he's not really doing any work, and he's typing haikus and emailing them to everyone on his email list in the office. He types, "Worker bees can leave, even drones can fly away. The queen is their slave." I really love that one.
Yeah. So you want to hear my Deadpool list? I can go off just a couple of. So Zaza Gabor, Pendulette. Pendulette was actually sick when I wrote this.
Yeah, these people are all over 50, man. It's give me some young people.
Oh, I know. Well,
who don't do drugs.
Well,
or is that not the thing? It doesn't matter. You're not looking for long
weed. Well, see, it's not Vegas. The new list, I had to make it so like 75%. Only 75% at most can be over the age of like 70 or something like that, because the person that's going to win ended up all picking like 90-year-old like actresses, and he's going to win because he has like five of them died. I only have one. So Pinchelet, Fidel Castro, George Zimmerman, Jacques Fresco, Abe Vigoda.
Josh Zimmerman, like, there's a lot of people that want to kill him too. Yeah. I guess I'm assuming that my Deadpool would involve skill. Mm-hmm. More like an illusion of premonition.
I have a lot of younger people. Like he had.
Okay, but are they younger people that do drugs and have a lot of enemies?
Yeah, Artie Lang, Kirk Douglas, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Miley Cyrus. So that would be a no. That one actually was a pretty risky one.
You don't think
one.
People want to kill Miley Cyrus? Google kill Miley Cyrus. No, don't. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't. Yogi Berra, Steve-O. But Steve-O used
Yogi
to do
Berra
drugs.
Cashed, didn't he?
Yeah, that was actually that cashed. One. Steve-O risks so far.
Steve-O risks his life every day on the job.
True.
Thank you for your service, Steve-O.
Yeah. David Gordon, the philosopher. Betty White, George Lucas, Bob Dole, Bill
Betty
Cosby.
White will bury you, man.
I know, right? Hak Jahan, which is Sung Jung, or Kim. Well, I can't remember my cult leader's names. Sung Young Moon, that's his wife. He's dead now. Billy Bob Thornton, and then a host of a radio show on GCN, which I'm not going to mention.
Okay.
Yeah.
Me.
No, not you. No. No.
I'm trying to deflect. I know it's not.
So, someone who pounds tables and stuff.
Okay.
Anyways.
Okay, you corn pounder.
Hey, wow, microaggressed.
That's not a gay thing. Corn pounder,
I demand Satoshis.
It's actually a way of calling someone a wimp, though. It's based on that in early hunter-gatherer philosophy, like when hunter and gathering was overlapping with early agriculture, or even now in some primitive societies where they have both, the hunters were the really manly men who would go out and kill beasts, while the cucks, the corn pounders, would stay home and pound the corn with a mortar and pestle with the women.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, and in Fight Club, to get back to Fight Club, the scene, the voiceover scene where he's floating in and out of consciousness, which is a really cool scene, he's talking about a post-industrial society climbing the kudzu vines that wrap the Sears Tower, looking down on people pounding corn in loincloths, pounding corn in what used to be a four-lane highway. That movie's deep, man. I like it. It's layered, like an onion router.
Yeah, but... Do you like The Matrix?
No, I hate The Matrix. I love Fight Club, and I hate The Matrix. Well,
good.
I mean, I liked The Matrix the first time I saw it, but then I forgot it. It wasn't like it didn't inform my life decisions at all.
When you watch it again, you realize it's pretty dumb.
I've been channel flipping and seen bits of it since, and been like, man, these people, this is like a cartoon. This isn't even good. What is this?
Yeah.
It's and so also weird. The whole, like, is that the one or is it the sequel where, like, the punchline is basically, like, using humans as batteries? Is that the Matrix?
No, that was the first one, yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
that was the whole point of the Matrix.
It's ridiculous.
But it didn't make any it didn't make any sense, because why even have the Matrix when you could just have them be laying there comatose?
Right.
And then
they
wouldn't die in the Matrix and then die in actual, you'd lose in... Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
And there's a lot of better power sources. And I could see industrially raising humans for organ transplant or something, but not batteries. They don't produce enough energy.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If it makes any- I've never seen either.
You're cool.
Profession.
Yeah, you're cool.
Who's him?
Yeah, but you used to like Scott. Really. No, wait, that was Jim. Okay,
that's
so Jim. What do you want to know about the band The Vandals? And first of all, like, who are The Vandals, and why should a 70-year-old grandpa listening to talk radio driving his kids from the church picnic to the VFW care?
Okay, I really don't understand why you would not like The Vandals. So The Vandals are a punk rock band hailing from Orange County, and a lot of them
okay, right
kinda...
there. You had me at hailing from Orange County as someone who lived in L.A., yeah. But go on. You had me hating them at that.
Yep.
All right, so but what's interesting about them is that they're not from the left-wing kind of flavor of punk rock. They actually kind of came from the conservative, but they're more kind of like center left libertarian somewhere in there. Originally kind of
I won't interrupt. Go ahead with your intro. Go ahead and praise the Trump of punk rock from Orange County, 80s punk rock. Go ahead.
They don't hate, they like Trump? Is this true?
They are way more conservative than they are libertarian, and they're, you know what I don't like about them? I didn't think that, and it's another line from Fight Club, on the plane where the two characters are really, spoiler alert, the same character, two sides of his split personality, when they meet for the first time on the airplane, and one of them says something kind of snidely clever, trying to impress the other one, and the other one says, that's clever. How's that working out for you? That's what I don't like about the Vandals. And they're not even that clever. And they also just like, they talk about killing cats in one of their songs. And, I will literally shoot you in the face if I see you hurt a cat.
Boy to the World is one of the best Christmas albums ever.
Are they going to kick my door in for that? I'll literally shoot you in the face for stealing my property in Texas, where it's legal at night to shoot
Michael
people.
Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
For some reason, in this country and in a bunch of lesser world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created Fiend Phone. I'm using Fiend Phone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to fiendphone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's fiendphone.com. FeenPhone.com. Foxtrot, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiendphone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
This is... The Freedom Fiends, also known as the Wally George Fan Club, apparently.
The America Haters Cafe.
Yeah. I knew Dave Brocky from GWAR really well, right, Jim Jesus?
You did?
We were friends. Oh, yeah. I actually...
Rest in peace.
I have something most people don't have, which is a visible scar on my forehead where I got 3 stitches where Dave Brocky hit me in the head with a bass guitar by accident during a show in 1984 or 5 of his pre-GWAR band that GWAR came out of called Death Piggy. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
GWAR's like my favorite metal band. My second favorite, Death Clock is definitely.
You should listen to. There'd be no Death Clock without GWAR. Google Death Piggy on. Not Google, YouTube it. Somebody's put their. They only did like one EP, and like 10 song EP, 5 minutes, 2 minute songs. But it's up there. Bathtub in Space. When I think of Mongos, I think of Stoats. When I think of Stoats, I think of you. It's all up there, all the hits, kids, and it's free on YouTube. And that sounded like a late night UHF television ad from the 80s. And
that's all those classics.
That's going to segue us into Wally George, who was a late night public access UHF Anaheim, California. And that's, you know, you got to know that that is the home of Disneyland, too, is Anaheim, California. So tell us about Wally George. I've never heard of this guy, but apparently he's the father of actress. I can't believe this. This guy is the father of Rebecca De Mornay, who's, you know, really hot and used to date. This is a weird, cool guy to date. She used to date Leonard Cohen, but she was like 40 and he was like 70, and she was still hot and looked like a blonde actress, and he looked like a homeless guy and was still brilliant. That just proves that, like, it ain't all about looks if you're talented enough. And, you know, he probably didn't even have that much money. I think he was bankrupt. Is he dead? Did he die? I don't want to say he died bankrupt, but
who, Wally George? Or
it's almost like public access doesn't give you fortunes upon fortunes.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. No, Leonard Cohen, though, was like, his manager stole all his money. He's still alive. And actually, I probably put $60 or $70 in his pocket because my band Bomb covered his song Suzanne on our Warner Brothers record. And Warner Brothers paid out. Let's see, we sold 10,000 copies. And back then it was 6 cents each. How much is that? Is that $60 or $600?
Ask me to do math.
$6 would be $106. I'll do it, but you know,
it's so like $120, I think.
He got some money for me. Yeah,
yeah. But if it wasn't for Wally George, we would never have people like Geraldo or Jerry Springer. Like that, he was the reason why we have the people who throw chairs and stuff.
Yes,
talk radio. That was him, and he would bring on people like Guar and just sit there and like bash them. Like, oh,
$600.
In one of his lyrics, he says, "America must be destroyed." Boo him! And then like everybody in the crowd would start booing him, and you know, Dave Brockie would start going, "Oh, Brockie, yeah, America." Brockie. Yeah, Brockie.
Oh, Brockie, because he was broke.
America must be destroyed. And then, you know, it caused a big scene, and he would end up kicking out everybody. Everybody who disagreed with him, he ended up kicking him off the show.
He was early Facebook. He would say something inflammatory, and then anybody that disagreed with him would be gone. Yeah.
And you know, I was going to ask you if it was really just a joke, but I have my answer right here. It was not, because he was buried. His service was held at the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. You don't get buried there if you're not a real right wing Christian dude.
Mover. No, yeah, shaker.
He was totally legit, but he was just so off buried. The top that a lot of people. I watched him too. Like, I watched him when I was a liberal, and I thought it was hilarious, or at least reruns. But I remember when I was a kid, I kind of caught him on TV, and I was like, I'm not interested in politics, whatever. But later on, we were watching reruns when I was a liberal, and I just thought it was the best show ever, even though I disagree with them. Yeah. Ew, I was a liberal. I was worse than a liberal. I was a green.
Yes.
Yeah. So, crunchy on the outside, red on the inside. What is it? Green on the outside, red on the inside.
Yeah. And that's true. It's true. Because at the end of the day, if you would have sat me down, I would have been like, I'm just two steps away from being a socialist.
So the other night, I got to do a little interruption myself here, and then we'll come back to it. But the other night, I was talking about how it doesn't matter how far off you like hijack yourself in telling stories, as long as you come back to it, even if it's like an hour later. And I never came back to that. I messed it up. What I was going to come back to was, I never told the thing I was going to tell, which was that I found an email to myself from January of this year, and I have a correction to make, was that, and I just thought that'd be funny to correct something from a show that long ago. But, you know, it was basically, I was quoting that thing by Zero Gov, Bill Buport, where he said, you know, it's not, you shouldn't question authority, you should question obedience. But I said it backwards on the air like 11 months ago or 12 months ago. So I just want to correct that. And that is worthy of a burp. So we'll be back with more about Wally George. Go ahead.
People have been seething angry about that for months, and now you finally said it right.
We lost listeners over it, I'm sure, hundreds. Oh, check your Twitter,
you,
Steve.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
States, man. You just can't explain that to somebody who hates some states and loves other states. You're speaking, you know, like lizard Yiddish or something. It doesn't even compute.
You can't explain it. Aliens.
Israel. somebody just tweeted, how much is the only copy of the Michael W. Dean fan furry gay BDSM erotica starring Derek J. and Steve Miller? I think we should ask Wally, the ghost of Wally George.
Okay, it's 0.7 Bitcoin. Go right that second.
He dresses up like an animal.
Back off the mic.
And has gay sex. Boo him. Boo.
Okay, so we're gonna do this as Wally George.
That's all he does. Yeah, that's all he does.
I just watched some of them. You're not true. He starts out calm. He starts out calm and confident, and he has. I mean. Okay, just Google this, people. Wally George. Watch his TV show. Just look at a screenshot, a still image of it. His set and him look like a Saturday Night Live parody of this guy. He's got a like 70s conservative suit with a wide striped tie. He's got a 70s microphone that I want. I've been looking for a good one on for this Shure mic on YouTube or on eBay. He's got an American flag with fringe on the American flag, and he has a big photo of the space shuttle going up, and it says USA is number one underneath it. and this set looks like the AV club at the high school built it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
He's a handsome guy, though. I can see how his seed whelped out Rebecca De Mornay.
What does it? Is it the weird kind of hair comb over type thing?
Yeah, he kind of looks like Trump looked back then. Yeah. A little better looking, but you know, I used to have a long distance relationship with a woman who was the liberal daughter of a conservative talk show host. I don't know if I can talk about it on the air though, because I'd have to point out that the talk show host had a stroke and he's still on air, and it's like, dude, I mean, I almost gave up radio this year out of self-preservation because I was starting to stumble over words because I wasn't getting enough oxygen. If I ever have a stroke, take my mics from me forcefully. Don't let me do that. I can write things and have you guys say them, but I'm ready to, you know, I want to go out good like Ben Stone did. I want to be smart enough to know when I start sounding stupid like a retarded Wally George.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, over. Tell me about stuff, guys.
Wally George.
It sounds made up.
Never trust a man with two names.
Yeah, Michael Dean. Steve Miller. Jimmy Miller's
first name.
Miller's not a first name.
Yeah.
Alexander is technically a first name, so.
Yeah, Jim Alexander is Jim Jesus' real name. I just doxed him. So Jim Jesus and I both have.
But you know what? You did a better job. You did a better job doxing me than any social justice warrior has ever tried.
I thought we were going there. I thought we were going there. You just said your real first name. Although you have been doxed pretty well by the guy, but as the wrong person. So somebody doxed you as being True Shives, but actually like got a few details right, like way more than the guy today.
I have been doxed and Nick stalks pretty well over there. I used to have the username Mach1.
Misdoxed.
And I used to have the website Mach1.com, but I don't own that anymore. And so what happened was someone doxed the current owner of Mach1.com as me and tried to dox him as that. And then that failed. And then Scientology was like, oh, we made a mistake. Let's do it right. And then they found out who I really was and then doxed me like that. And then I had that I had the people who were supporting Molyneux misdox me as True Shibes, and then they figured out, oh no, he does not True Shibes, and then now I'm being misdoxed. So I'm wondering when they're going to get around to actually figuring out what, you know, the real city that I live in.
Yeah, I'm wondering. We've said it on the air.
I'm wondering when you're going to get around to making a. You need to make a flag of your face on the snake on the Gadsden flag that says "Don't dox me, bro."
Don't dox me, bro. And then hang it in front of your house. Well, the thing about doxing.
Please dox me.
For people who don't know, doxing is when you drop documents on someone on the internet. Basically, when when people who hate other people, like the really puss thing they'll do is anonymously put up the name, address, phone number, etc. of the person they don't like. And sometimes they get really creepy with it. Like they'll put their kid's school and who their classes their kids are in. And here's the thing that is the unspoken thing that's never said about doxing. The implication with doxing is that the doxer is a puss hiding in the shadows who is not, like, you know, violent enough to actually go over to your house and shoot you. But he's hoping that if he puts up your details, somebody crazier than him will do it. It's Chris Cantwellism. It's Cantwell ranting, shoot the police and not shooting the police. It's Cantwell saying, although Cantwell, it's one step above that because he uses his real name. And you can find his address really simple. If you want to dox Cantwell, go do a who is search on chriscantwell.com. It still lists his mother's address in Teaneck, New York, or whatever, where he registered it. Now, that's not unfair doxing at this point, because people have pointed that out and he's never changed it. You can update that, which makes me think he wants people to go hassle his mother.
Yeah.
And I Googled it. I will say this. I'm going to pull an 8 Mile on him. Like, yeah, I'm from the ghetto, but that guy's from a nice neighborhood. You know, you look at his mother's house, he grew up with a silver spoon in his mouth, but that guy never missed a meal as a kid, I'll say that.
Teaneck is not a rough area. I'll tell you that.
It's not a legit rough area.
Yeah.
I'll look up what town it is and you can tell me. It's not a rough area. I mean, although there is, he did a video of him burning a U.S. flag before his famous one where he shoots it a couple years earlier when he still lived with his mother in her backyard. And it's like, it looks like the local Rotary Club and the George Will fan club is going to show up. It's really upscale, man. Yeah.
And George Will, my comment has been removed from that, where I said that, hey, your mom's backyard looks very pretty. And he deleted it.
He deleted it. You don't know.
That's his way. He's a comment deleter. Yeah. Free speech.
Yeah, I'm not really afraid of being a doxxed.
No. It's not about free speech. It's about a safe space. Cantwell wants a safe space where trolls and people who make fun of him can't talk bad about him anymore, because, you know, that really matters. The alt-right, which Cantwell is starting to become, actually, you know, he is a part of.
They're NPR of racism. Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're the polar opposite of social justice warriors, where they do all the same things, but they just do it under a different form of ethics, which is traditionalism. So he's basically an SJW playing for the other team.
He's not from Teaneck, New Jersey. He's from Long Island, New York.
SJW stands for supporting just whites.
It's a Long Island, by the way.
Lawn. He does. They had a lawn. His mother's house. Yeah. I've seen it.
Long Island. That's how they say it in Long Island. Yeah. Long Island.
Hey, a freedom fiend is on Christopher Cantwell's podcast, Racial Agenda, episode 74. I'm looking at ChristopherCantwell.com. Brett Vinat, producer of School Sucks podcast, joins me in the studio. Brett Vinat is a freedom fiend. He's not on a lot of episodes, but he is one of the listed co-hosts, and he's been on a bunch of shows, and he led the show and the Tell Dawn after show at Porkfest this year. So thank you, Chris Cantwell, for putting, you know, it's always good when fiends get work.
Yeah. Hey, you know, if he wants to put me on his, I'm more than enough to debate him on his dumb racialism thing.
Oh, and now we have an insider who knows Cantwell's current home address. That's useful. Hmm. All right. Speaking of doxing, drop me an email, Brett. I'm not going to dox Cantwell. It's not like,
please donate,
it's not
docs.
It's not like if you live in Keene, you can't find Cantwell if you want to.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Well, like only 5 people live there, so
yeah. Cantwell is the Wally George of Keene too. You know, unsuccessful right wing guys screeching into public access. You know, the internet, which is the public access radio of now. If you're not popular,
I like that title.
The Wally George of Keene.
The Wally George of Keene.
Tweet, hashtag, doing it right now. All right.
Cantwell is the Wally George of libertarianism for sure. And yeah, he's just a rabble rouser. He's and I don't know. There's like people who kind of speculate whether or not like Cantwell's really like serious about what he's doing, or if this is just another attempt to be more edgy.
Steve and I are going to talk about that this weekend on The Fiends. That's planned. We're doing a whole show on people who play roles on and you know, like basically comics who bomb and then say, oh, I wasn't me, I was a role, but, you know, like Cantwell,
like Cult of Dusty, how every time he gets in trouble, oh, it's just satire, that sort of thing. Yeah, okay.
why does Cantwell have all these pictures of him with Muppets? I don't get this. I don't watch enough of his videos. Do you guys know?
No, I don't watch any videos either, unless it's to make fun of him living at his mom's house.
They look fake. No, but I think they're real.
That's what he does for Trump.
Oh, he's Trump. Oh.
Yeah,
he's so they're props. Trump. They're props on his show. Okay.
Well, basically, he's a wonderful supporter. I love Christopher Cantwell. He does a lot of great work. His blog is fantastic. He spells everything correctly. I can't even do that. That's amazing. Yeah. In fact, I have so many typos. That's what they call me. They call me a typo master. But Cantwell, it's great. I send everything through him, and he runs it through. Fantastic.
It was beautiful that the announcement that he was a Trump supporter was accompanied by the simultaneous announcement that he was a fascist. That the Trump campaign had to love that endorsement. Hey, I'm supporting this man's campaign. Also, I am a fascist. 1488, y'all. Peace.
Well, no, to be fair, he said that 14 was good. It's just that the 88 he had a problem with.
Oh, the words. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he likes some of the guiding principles of modern Nazism, but not all of them.
Yeah.
Cantwell does, right?
Yeah.
Cantwell
Hitler, he's the Hitler had some good ideas guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's the Hitler, which is one step beyond the even Hitler, you know, Hitler at least made the trains run on time, which is you ever heard that?
Yeah. It was Stalin though, not Hitler.
What? It was actually Uncle. No, it was actually Il Duce first. But it's so creepy when people say that, because it basically means like, well, hey, they killed anyone who made the trains late. It was good. Let's do it again.
Well, I don't know. I haven't heard about any really. I haven't heard a lot of talk about late trains with Obama, and I'm sure they would think that he's the devil. Conversely, so. In fact, I don't know if you know this, but I know you've been hearing the term cuckservative. I know that you've heard about that. You know where that's coming from, right?
No.
We should explain that when we get back after the break.
Boom, teased.
Boom, tease. Rocky 2. Stay tuned.
Creed.
I was more of a Nickelback fan.
Linkin Park.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hey, this is Squisgar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch. Now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
We're on the air.
We're on the air. With the Wally George of Liberty.
Yeah. So, Michael, do you know what a cuck servative is?
I know a cuck is a cuckold. It's someone who watches while their wife cheats with another man and gets off on it. Or, you know, someone who is cheated on. Or someone in biology, a cuckold is an animal that raises the young of another animal. Okay, so what's a cuckservative? And I know, it's a diss. It's a thing people say now to just dismiss anybody. Like, oh, you cuck. You know, yeah. Means like, oh, you're someone who'd let that happen. It's a funny diss, too, but go on. What's a cuckservative?
It's the alt-right version of how we use the term statist. Anybody who disagrees with statist. Okay, so, but it's designed to be more offensive and more demeaning. And the point of it is that usually in the cuckold type thing is usually a black man. And the point is that you're sitting there allowing a black man to rape your wife. And when you're talking about conservative, you're talking about a black man raping your country, and they're talking about Barack Obama. So it's from its very core, it's very racist. Yeah, it's a very racist thing. And you know, of course, they're like anytime you mention that, they'll be like, "Well, I don't know what racist means." It's like, "Well, open a dictionary. It's a prejudice against race," which they acknowledge exists, right? But so that's the point of the cuck service. So anytime you hear that, it's basically you're sitting there saying that you're allowing a black man to rape your country, and it's obscene, and it's not, you know, like I can understand something like statist, or you know, the liberal version would be racist, or the, you know, you know, yeah.
But this is. Yeah. Thank you for explaining that, because I'm seeing it everywhere and I'm not hip enough. Well, actually, what it is I'm not in tune with the, you know, Chris Cantwell, alt-right, conservative, Nazi-loving, you know, Trump-loving crowd. So I didn't know.
Yeah.
And Jim kind of transcends. Jim is our resident Know Your Meme guy. And, you know, and then Steve Miller is our viral meme-making guy. And Jim makes some memes too, but Jim knows all the memes, which is useful.
I'm more like the guy who knows all the memes and he can explain the memes to you. Whereas creating memes, I'm just mediocre at it. I'm not getting on PolitiFact at any time soon with my memes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a message for the board op, because that's what radio is all about, is hold off until the show's over of uploading that file for us. We may have a workaround, but all right. Thanks, Nathan. Okay. Yeah, this is what radio sounds like now.
We're talking to
the future of radio.
Yeah, I'm waiting to hear back from our Tuesday night editor, Scott, to find out if he was actually able to download this stuff. You know, I spent like 4 hours last night getting and downloading the Freedom Fiend show, and I didn't really pat myself on the back for that yet. I make it happen no matter what. I lose sleep. I was like swimming in lack of sleep by the time I was done uploading that last night, so everyone could enjoy it with their breakfast. So please donate. Go to freedomfeeds.com. Buy buttons. Yep.
You got a hashtag, please donate.
Steve, make me laugh. You got about a minute.
I have about a minute to make you laugh. So there's this dude that lives on my block, and we were talking about politics today, and we were talking about Bernie Sanders, and he said, "Well, Bernie Sanders is a socialist." He goes, "I think you're kind of a socialist too," and I just looked at him, and he goes, "You're one of the nicest people on the block." He goes, "You're socialer than this person. You're socialer than this person. You're probably the socialist person on the block." As in, like, most
does he mean sociable? Does he mean sociable?
Yeah, he meant sociable.
That's funny. That reminds me of was. That's like that's a joke. That's kind of an accidental joke from Spinal Tap. Like when their record company had to change their record album that had a greased naked woman on all fours with a leather glove being pushed in her face, and the record's called "Smell the Glove," and they were told it was sexist and they'd have to change it. And one of them says, "What's wrong with being sexy? We're all sexy."
There you go.
I like Jim because Jim will laugh at things that aren't even my jokes that were funny the first time in 1983. Haven't been since.
I was 1 year old when 1983 happened, so.
Yeah. Have you seen Spinal Tap, though?
Yeah, of course. The Freedom Fiends is the libertarian radio show that goes to 11.
Yeah, it really
you
is.
Just don't. Yeah, 10 is when you just nap all the time. 11 is when you talk about what cuck conservatives
are.
Yeah,
and it's not racist because we're just saying what they are.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what I'm saying, and I'm going to stick to it.
Worms.
Yeah.
Vandals, guys. Best punk rock band ever.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.